This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. And of course, SiriusXM Channel 158 is Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Bidlin.
Hey!
Tattnin.
Nada mucho, Gil.
You good?
I'm great. Fantastic Friday morning.
Yeah, man.
Danny's last day.
Danny Higgins' last day. That's
the
how
farewell
we'll remember
tour.
His day. I'm genuinely, here, look. Selfishly,
yeah, me too.
Selfishly. Genuinely bummed.
Of course. He's been a major part of the show over the past year.
As his friend, good for him.
Absolutely. We're happy for him.
Do your thing. But it's Danny Higgins' last day. So, if things start to go wrong on Monday, you'll know why.
That's right. And if you're here for a contest weekend and you hope to run into Danny.
That's right. Nope. Gone.
No chance. I think he's got the cars packed in the garage, I'm pretty sure. And as soon as this show ends, he is on his way to Montana.
Ghost. Out of here. Again, people should look into the whereabouts of Iva Jovic. She's supposed to be at the U.S. Open. Maybe she's in Montana. Just saying.
Yeah, we'll see.
Could be. On the show today, Paul Carr, Prem Picks. I think he went 2-1 in the debut of Premier League Picks this year. But you know what the one loss was?
Oh, Hull, I do.
Hull City. 2-1. We'll take the 2-1 every week, though. Chris Velika, triumphant return to the show today after what feels like it was about a month off from the show.
Yeah.
Chris is back from his Alaskan cruise with his lovely wife. College football, soccer, horse racing. Velika is just ready to fire. And he's going to be actually, he's going to do two segments with us. He's actually come a segment early, like Crack did yesterday. He's going to come at, later this hour. And then he'll bleed over into the next hour. Jason Lisk in studio for Survivor
he
Talk.
Is, yep.
Jason Lisk from Bet Labs, going to talk Survivor. These guys wrote the book on Survivor. Not the actual book, but you know what I mean. Figuratively speaking. All his tenants in Survivor. Jason comes armed. And then it is Fezzik Fridays, starring Steve Fezzik, who, are he and Brad Powers fake fighting, or are they actually fighting on Twitter?
Oh, my God. That's such a great question, because I've caught, like, a couple of those.
I never know with
those
two.
And I don't know.
They have the strangest relationship.
Yeah, and I don't really know Brad that well, so,
yeah,
I've thought the same thing.
I don't know. We'll get to the bottom of that. Anyway, Stevie has week one NFL play.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's plural. I was about to say plays, but I know it's at least one. He's got season-long thoughts, which sound awfully familiar to stuff we've been saying 100 times here. But, you know, with Stevie, it becomes his thought.
You know what I'm just realizing? Did I miss the Steve novel text message?
Oh, yeah, he just sent it to me. Because maybe he didn't know you were coming back. Yeah. So he gave me a hint of what he's talking about. It's, he's got thoughts on college football. Whole bunch of stuff from Fezzik today. I mean, he's all over the place. So we'll talk to him in the final hour of the show today as well. Can we give a shout before we get into, also, can we give a shout to Stormy? The great Stormy Bonatoni, co-host of Money Moves here on the network. Did you see this tweet she put out?
Sure did, man. Yeah, that kind of went viral.
She has like 7 million views on this thing. And what she was very curious. She just said, by the way, if you and I do the same tweet, we get maybe 3,000 views each. But Stormy got 7.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stormy got 7
as
million.
As much as I love Stormy, this is not the first time I've seen this type of thing tweeted. But
it's Stormy.
It's Stormy, and it took
and
off.
And who doesn't love Stormy?
Yep.
So she wanted to know, but she was genuinely curious about people in media, and specifically sports media, their salaries they used to make at the beginning of their careers. And every human being in sports media has responded.
Yeah,
I saw Zabe was in there.
Because we all have the same story.
Everybody has the same
story. She laid it out well in the video.
Yep.
I don't know if that's picked up more of if they're... She must be feeling like she's running into more people just expecting...
It's on the trending, on the right column, trending, people in sports media.
Yeah, but like she must be running into more people that are expecting to just get paid way more, I guess, like fresh out of... I mean, of us that worked in this business have a very, very small salary story to tell you about.
Yes, we
our first
I mean, later, Kelly and I will tell you ours. I think the genesis was because maybe... Will was telling me like she's mentoring someone in school, and
that would make sense.
They would use it, as a sort of guidance, guardrails kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, shout out to her. Great tweet. I think every VSiN tweet in the history of VSiN combined may not add up to that.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe.
Maybe not.
Okay. Yesterday, baseball was a short baseball day. It's a short slate anyway. So not much changed in the August standings. So this is the final little stretch here, right? This is this weekend and Monday. That is it. And with only 4 days left, you won't find this. I can't remember this being so strange in terms of games left, because you would think, oh, does everybody have four games left? And if they don't, they have three games left. Actually, the Red Sox have five games left. They have a doubleheader tomorrow against the Yankees. So the Phillies, right now, leader in the clubhouse, 17-7. Remember, dead heat at William Hill Caesars. Tiebreaker at Circa. Fewest wins if you have the same amount of wins. Fewest losses, pardon me, if you have the same amount of wins, followed by best run differential. Phillies right now, 17-7. Four games left. Current odds, -145. Padres, one win back at 16-8. And then the Red Sox and Rays and Brewers, all with 15 wins, 15-9, 15-9, 15-10. But the Red Sox actually get an extra game. It is a doubleheader, as mentioned, so the Red Sox aren't really two back. They're more like, in terms of their controlling of their destiny, they're more like they're one win back. So it is and the Red Sox, as we said, the 3 years we've been doing this, we've never had a back-to-back winner. Red Sox trying to do that for the first time. They have the best run differential in the month again.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I know Mark said this the other day, but now I'm just pulling up schedules. We're this close. Four games left for Phillies and Padres. I mean, it's Rays for the Padres on the road and Angels for the Phillies. That minus 145 price is actually looking pretty attractive.
Yeah, but it is baseball. Funny things happen. So there's that. Congratulations to all who are involved in that. And William Hill Caesars already has their September numbers up. And we will talk about those on Monday, because as Kelly learned yesterday after the show, August has 31 days in it.
That's right.
That's right.
Now you know, PSA.
Would you like me to tell everybody what we had to do after the show yesterday?
Yeah, you can do the knuckle thing.
Kelly was
very effective.
Kelly was confused about numbers, days, and months. And I gave him the old thing that I used to teach Gracie when she was little. You put your hands together, two fists together. Every high knuckle is 31. Every indentation is less than 31.
That was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Whatever rhyme that everybody goes with, I never understood that.
Kelly then followed up with a question. Hey, when it's not 31, is it always 30?
I had to just make sure real quick on that one, okay? You know what? I'm going to use
Florida State University, everybody.
I'm going to use the same defense I brought up yesterday. It's fine. At some point, we all stopped looking up at the sun to try to figure out what time it was, because we had clocks and watches, okay? There's just always been a calendar in my face, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't really feel like I need to know these things that often. Except for when it comes to betting on monthly wins in baseball.
That's right. Yesterday, winner in tennis, Ignacio Buse. So hoping to continue a nice little run into the U.S. Open. Today, only one play in the Fakakta Strange tournaments right before the U.S. Open. Draw was yesterday, by the way. Drew Dinsick, Zach Cohen, and I doing the U.S. Open post-draw podcast today after this show. Looking forward to throwing that up. And we'll actually talk about my quarter thoughts here momentarily. But today, the only play is Nicola Bartankova, +112 versus Elise Mertens. That is in Monterrey, Mexico.
Shout out to Ryan Pineda, getting confident with the player cutouts.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, that could be anybody.
Can I make an awful comment?
Sure.
Doesn't Nicola Bartankova, who is pictured there on the right, isn't she a dead ringer for Haley Joel Osment?
It's just because she's, I mean, see what you mean, but
No. Any picture of her.
Oh, any picture of her.
Dead ringer. Right. If she goes, I see dead people, you'd think it's him.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I'm on her against Elise Mertens. It's the only play today in tennis as we look to continue the run-up to the U.S. Open. Shall we? I know we're supposed to do country club in next segment.
Mother of God, you're right.
But can I start with this? Because this, I mean, you have golf to talk about, so we better get into it. Can I also say just shout out to Jay Cohen yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Again,
mm-hmm.
Bill Krakenberger for making it happen. Jay Cohen, one of the three founders of World Sports Exchange. Very honest, I think he was, yesterday.
I thought it was great.
Yeah. I don't know if everybody loved his answers at the end there, if you know what I mean, but
it is a
had to ask.
Just a bizarrely fascinating story. I we've talked about it a lot with the prediction markets and just the legalization of sport with some of the sports books, DraftKings, FanDuel, and it's just some of these things are just, when were you trying to do it, right?
Yeah.
Timing. It's incredible. It's just incredible how one story can be, the result of one can be so much different than another.
Okay, let's squeeze the men's in here. We'll do the women's quarter odds. So the quarter odds are out. Shout out BetMGM. I'm not sure who else got it out, but BetMGM was the first here in Nevada to do so. And again, when the state gets real sports betting, when they legalize it, it's going to be awesome. I don't have any play in quarter number one here. This is the Sasha Zverev quarter. I would have loved to have played Rafa Hodar, but the you know, everybody knows already, right? So he's only plus 240. So there was no play for me here in quarter number one. I think Hodar and Zverev are absolutely the two men to beat here. Lorenzo Musetti historically has great hardcore numbers, but he hasn't been his best. He was at his best this time early this year, calendar year. Quarter number two, I do not have a play in quarter number two either. This is the Taylor Fritz, Felix Auger-Aliassime, Jakub Mencik quarter. I know that, you know, we're going to talk to Drew and Zach on the podcast. I know they love Felix here. Taylor Fritz, by the raw hardcore data, is properly priced. He has better raw hardcore data than does FAA.
You know what? I meant to ask you guys about him the other day, because I feel like it was a lot of...
Man, they love him.
Who does?
Drew and Zach.
Fritz?
No, Felix.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, Fritz feels like the one name I'm a little surprised I haven't heard really anybody mention.
I mean, I can't see him winning, and I know Zach was like, he wouldn't be surprised if he did. I can't see him winning, but I'm just talking on raw hardcore data. Taylor Fritz, 6 month, 1 year, better than that of Felix Auger-Aliassime. But no play for me here because I think it's all properly priced. I will have a play in quarter three and then a couple plays in a couple women's quarters when we go country clubbing next. And you got some golf too, right?
We'll update the tour championship. Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. You're a country clubbing kind of guy. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game, un partido de números. Live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander. It's my little buddy Kelly Bidlin, everybody.
Yo!
Losing weight like nobody's business. Losing weight like all get out. What are all those strange statements about it?
Got to laugh at how many tweets we had come in about the old modes have 28 days.
Mikey P on Twitter, having gone to college at D.C., I always enjoyed hopping on the metro and having a train operator with a great voice announcing the station stops. That's right. I think the Red Line was famous for that. Unfortunately, they were very few and far between. Yes, exactly. I think it was this one dude on the Red Line I remember would be like, next up, everybody, is Van Ness UDC, home of the Division II champ Firebirds back in the early 80s.
He would include fun facts with that.
Jeff Sass. Don't sass me, Jeff. Gil, look up the story on John Ratzenberger, the guy that played Cliff Clavin on Cheers, went on to voice multiple characters in Pixar movies. Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. James Spivey, speaking of media salaries, when VSiN increased you and Kelly's workload by 33%, it's actually about 50%, from 2 to 3 hours per day, did you receive a salary increase of that amount? That's a good one, James. That's a good one. Johnny Ringo, would 100% buy that book, Gil? Your career has been so eclectic, it would be fascinating to see how you ended up going place to place. You would have to read the audiobook. Oh, I'd have a ball. Chrissy Andrews always said, I really wanted to read my audiobook. I'm not sure if he ever did. Yeah, that'd be fun. All right, maybe I'll write one. J&J Watering Hole, technically speaking, all months have 28 days. He said, I would read a Gil book for sure. Currently looking for books for my 19-month-old grandbabies as well. Can Kelly write one with a lot of pictures?
Covered.
Just kidding. Keep up the great work, gentlemen. Wow. And Matthew Mayberry, trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, a dime and a nickel. That was Round and Round, right? Yeah, I believe. Thinking about it.
I don't know. Looking over to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is back from his Alaska cruise, where he
I'd read sent this book too.
500 pictures to us, all beautiful. But he's back stateside. It is Chris Felica, the Bear from Fox Sports El Oso. Christopher, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yeah, no, a great trip off the Alaska coast, and then wind up in Vancouver, which is a beautiful city as well. Some great scenery. You want an option for an audio book that I think would probably be like an audio book that would be extremely difficult to top is Tom Rinaldi voicing and reading, and this is out there, by the way. He did do this.
This is awesome.
An audio book of Tom Rinaldi, the man with the red bandana. The story about Wells Crowther, like that. That's probably an audio book that would probably be pretty captivating to listen to. I get no commission from Tom Rinaldi, by the way.
In that Rinaldi, inflection with a little music behind it, maybe. Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yes.
Good guy, by the way, Tom Rinaldi. Yes.
Oh, great guy. Yeah, the best.
I would.
The best. He can take a jab with the bat. He kind of loves being the like if I take a shot at him, he just kind of gives like a Rinaldi laugh, and he so mean, but he loves it. Yeah, great guy. Great
all
guy.
Right. As is the staple of all Chris Felica appearances, it's not just one sport. It's not just two sports.
No.
It's often six or seven sports. We have about, I think, four different ones here today. Maybe I miscounted. Let's start with, let's segue from where Paul just was. You have a Premier League play as well.
Yeah, I bet Man City today on the three-way against Palace. They did not play very well for the first 55, 60 minutes or so in their opener against Bournemouth, and down 1-0. And miraculously, they brought in Rad Cherki, and they started to play better, and they wound up getting two late goals to get the win. Cherki needs to be in the starting 11, and now you play Palace, a team that has lost a lot of guys in the portal, managerial changes. I would expect City to come out today and play much better from the start and get all 3 points against Palace.
Okay. And then we talked about tennis. Let's get your tennis play out of the way. You texted this to folks yesterday. You're super excited about it. You remain super excited about this play. What do you got?
I do. And there were a couple of reactions out there, but I don't necessarily think that bet's going to win, but I can see how you're going to do it. But I bet at DraftKings the field at plus 135 against the big three, as they said, Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz, and Sasha Zverev. I just don't think Djokovic right now has much left in the tank. Could he pull a Jimmy Connors type thing and wind up winning 25? It would be awesome if he did, and if he does and I lose, great. It would be awesome for him to go out with the win there. Sasha Zverev's hard court form has not been great lately. And Carlos Alcaraz, we still don't know about his health, all because he played a couple of mixed doubles matches with Serena, and there was a report about him, his practice going inside, so he couldn't be seen. And that's a very difficult quarter that he is in.
Yes, it
as
is.
Well. So someone said if one of those three get to the final, could you see anyone else beating them? Maybe not. But at this price where I get the field against guys who I think all have a little bit of a flaws right now and reasons to try and fade them, I took that. And finally, I would have told Danny this last night, but I did not see the prices until this morning when they just got put up. I just heard you talking about the quarters as well. I did take a shot against Djokovic in that quarter. I did bet Brandon Nakashima at 7-1 in that quarter. He's been playing great in the hard court right now. So I know, Kelly, you mentioned him, but I did take Nakashima 7-1.
Okay, so we both targeted the Djokovic quarter. You took Nakashima.
Yeah.
I took Daniil Medvedev. Yeah, we were saying a little bit about this off air. I like the field price at plus 135 versus Carlitos, Djokovic, and Zverev. But I also can imagine it losing, right? Because as you said off air, those guys deep in a tournament, like if they get I don't see them losing, right? Like if Carlitos got to the semis, then we're like, oh, he's Carlitos again. Same thing.
Right.
Same thing with Djokovic. Same thing with Sasha. Okay, so interesting play though. Where did you get that, by the way?
That was at DraftKings.
At DraftKings. Okay. Okay.
And they have one on the women's side too. Which I think they have an Iga and Sabalenka versus the field, and I think they have an Iga, Sabalenka, and someone else versus the field. I didn't take a stand there. I do think you probably have to maybe play against Sabalenka, even though her quarter is very easy. But she has what not been to a final in what 7 months or whatever. Like she's well off her game right now. So I would certainly be open to playing some prices there against her in the overall market.
All right. Chris Velika is, of course, you think his bread and butter is college football. We will save the college football for after the break. Really, his bread and butter, and his margarine as well, is horses. Saratoga today. What do you got?
I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah, that's right. Back in the day. Oh, is this
the... Never, ever a margarine guy, Gil. No. Never, ever.
Oh, you really had that taste sensitivity between butter and margarine? Really?
No, I shouldn't say I'm never a margarine. I would use margarine maybe to heat up a frying pan to make it a little bit nonstick. Mm. But in terms of like margarine on toast or something, no, gosh, no. Ugh.
Just
give me the real good, pure cultured butter and I'm an salted butter and I'm good to go.
I have both in my fridge currently. Because really? I go back and forth on this. I look kind of like Chris is saying. Okay. Sometimes I'm like, that was disgusting. Give me real butter.
Okay. Saratoga, are these today or tomorrow, Chris?
These are tomorrow.
All right.
Probably the biggest day of the meet at Saratoga. Bunch of stakes races. There are more stakes races than this, but these were three that I kind of looked at and looked at some ways to potentially play. In the Lake Placid, Chad Brown has a first-time import named Naomis, who comes in the form, the European form looks good. The workout over the surface looks good, but just going to be a question of whether this horse breaks out of the starting gate in good fashion. That's the biggest concern that you have a lot of times with these horses that come from Europe from the first time. They don't break in a gate necessarily over there, and maybe they act up and they don't get a clean trip. But I like this horse. Naomi's 3-1 will probably be shorter than that. So if you can find a fixed odds shop, I would recommend that. The Ballerina, this is a great race. You may not like Eclectant, but I am against Ways and Means, who's going to be the favorite in this race. She is a really, really hard horse to ride and handle. She always seems like she's all out in races, and she won Saratoga on Belmonte at a very, very short price and was all out to win. So Eclectant, I think, is going to get a good setup from that outside post. So I like her. And then the big race, the Midsummer Classic, the Midsummer, like the fourth leg of the Triple Crown, per se. The Traverse Stakes is a great race. You've got Golden Tempo, who won two of the three legs of the Triple Crown. You've got Renegade, who was the Derby favorite. But I like a horse coming in leading change, who's a horse, Kelly, that you're familiar with. We recommended betting this horse to win the Kentucky Derby at a really nice price.
Yep, that's right.
And then got hurt training.
Yep.
Never made his debut until a couple of months ago. Won the debut. Won, I believe it was Thistledown, the Indiana Derby, I think it was. Or the Ohio one. Maybe it was Indianapolis he won. I forget the race, the prep race. But I think this horse kind of being the new shooter on the trail, Brad Cox, I think this horse can be very tactically placed. A lot of times on big stakes days at Saratoga, you see a very speed favoring. So maybe that might work against Renegade a little bit and favor a horse that might be closer to the front end, like Leading Change. And that price on Leading Change is great at 12-1.
All right. We've saved the best for last. College football season longs and a week zero play from Chris next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort Casino, the greatest sportsbook, the largest sportsbook there is, which we hover over, and of course, Stadium Swim, the greatest pool/betting experience there is. If you're ever in Vegas, consider staying here. If you're ever planning a trip to Vegas and you've never done so, please consider spending your time with your buddies here. This is always a treat to have in studio. Kelly, by the way, has temporarily gone behind the glass because we made room for Jason Lisk from Pool Genius Talk Some Survivor with us. He is kind enough to join us in studio once again. Jason, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. It's great resort, wonderful rooms. You know, the Stadium Swim is hopping.
Yeah. We're saying the three things that they're known for: the large sports book, Stadium Swim, and the pressure in the shower. The water pressure in the shower.
Oh, yes. And the bench and just everything.
Oh, there's a bench in there?
In my room, there's a little bench in the hot shower and everything. Yeah, it's great. Great, awesome service, awesome experience here. I haven't really spent time at Stadium Swim. I've heard it and I've seen it, but I have spent time in the sports book behind us. Got my golf. picks in for the morning.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Tour championship.
Care to share anything?
I took some of the head-to-heads today because I don't want to outright. I'm leaving before Sunday, so I don't want to have to come back. And
gotcha.
So I got some head-to-heads in action today. I had Matsuyama over Cam Young.
Okay.
I have Cantlay over McIlroy in a head-to-head, so I just have a couple things like that.
Bit of Cantlay love going around this week.
Yeah, he's been playing well lately.
All right, Pool Genius. For those who aren't familiar, you have, by the way, you can follow Jason on Twitter, at Jason Lisk. You have been in the Survivor game for a long time. I always say you wrote the book on sort of Survivor tenets, if not strategy. And you always did such a great job. I've quoted you liberally on the show here, going over some of your stuff. But what's this? This is the exciting product right here that you have, Pool Genius. Explain what this is.
Yeah, if people want to see this, they can go to poolgenius.com. You can actually see the best offers, poolgenius.com/Veasan. But yeah, we have Survivor products in general. But we also last year launched a Circus Survivor product where I'm actually, we take in, once we get the entries rolling and we see if people picked week one, mm-hmm. we actually intake that. We can see who's still alive, what they've used.
So people can hear you. We can
intake. And I project out pick popularity each week. And we have our odds. And so you can see what I'm projecting for not only this week, but honestly, I do it for all 18 weeks. Every week of the year on Tuesday, I'm rerunning the numbers based on what the results roll in. So that's throughout the year. So we have pick popularity projections coming in for you in this product. We have other tools, optimal path tools that run kind of your best path. Once we know exactly who you picked to that point, you tell us these are the four teams that have been picked on an entry through week four. We will run the path that gives you the best odds to survive the rest of the year, things like that.
Very cool. And once again, where is that? Pool Genius?
Poolgenius.com, and we have a variety of pool products, but Circus Survivor is a specific one there you can check out.
I feel like I should then ask, so what's your projections for week one in terms of popularity?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've probably broken down week one some, so you know what the layout is. We have a couple of big favorites.
Mm-hmm.
We might have our first double-digit favorite in week one at close, at least in our consensus data since 2019. Because I think Denver closed below 10 last year against Tennessee. We've come close, but we've had some nines recently. We haven't had a close at 10.5, but the Chargers are there right now at 10.5.
Do we really not have a double-digit favorite week one?
There might
have
been some from book to book, but like across it, we take consensus data. We had some 9.5s. The last double-digit at 10 was, I believe it was the Eagles in 2019, maybe against Washington. Was the last one. So, yeah, it hasn't happened. The last double-digit to lose, you might remember this game. Drew Brees, the Saints played the Bucs, and Jameis Winston was out, and Ryan Fitzpatrick came in, and the line steamed up.
Oh, yeah.
And it turned into a massive shootout, mm-hmm. and the Bucs knocked out like 30-35% of Survivor pools in week one that year.
Yeah, I remember it well. Yeah. All right, so Chargers will be Chargers, the most picked, of course?
Charge, I think, will be the most picked. Because
after week two, their schedule just gets so hard.
Yeah, anyway. I mean, there's some spots. I mean, they're a playoff contender. They could pop up, and if you do save them, you might have some good value spots later. But they don't play on the holiday slates, so I don't think people will be feeling pressure to save them for that reason. Whereas, say, Detroit, who is sitting there as a seven-point favorite in week one, does. And so that might push Detroit's ownership down in week one at Circa. Jacksonville's the only other one over seven. They're at 7.5 against Cleveland with the fighting Deshaun Watsons. And so really, unless you're going to take one of those three teams, whether it's this contest or any other, you're dropping down to like a 4, a 3.5. And how many people are going to be willing to do that? I think some will, obviously. We know some will.
I mentioned this last week or whatever it was that I did a Survivor thing, which... Again, this is not going to work out every week.
Right.
But a North Star, a good sort of guiding light for Survivor is actually figure out by tools like you mm-hmm. have here, who's going to be the most selected, and then think about playing maybe the second or third most popular, optimal strategy-wise.
Yeah. In fact, I covered that in our guide this year and talking about strategy. There is benefit to that, obviously, for the reasons like I said, the Chargers, I think they're a really solid pick in week one. But if you save them, there might be a spot that pops up later. Right? Last year, think about it. Why did people use Denver? They were the biggest favorite in week one. But we also didn't think they were going to be, the number two seed or number one seed in the conference, get a bye or Did they get the bye? Yeah, they got the bye. New England played, didn't they? Denver had the bye. Yep. And and so we didn't think that was going to be the case in week one. So a lot of people piled on them, and I think they were like 35% plus in Circa and in a lot of survivor pools. Well, week 10, you might have needed them. That was a wipeout week with Carolina. They would have been great to have there. There were some other spots where they get – nobody had them by Christmas. Right?
Right.
They turn into a massive favorite. That yeah. I can't tell you we would predict that. But those spots do pop up if you have a good team that you save others use them.
It's a fluid situation.
Yes, very much so.
Who are you going to play? First of all, have you entered the contest?
I haven't yet. Okay. That's something I'll do after we get all the stuff done today.
I have to remind myself to do it as well.
Yeah. So
how many entries are you going to go with?
Well, I've got to talk to you. So I'm not as wealthy as some of our big wheelers out here in Vegas. So yeah. I'll have a few personally, and I'll talk to some others to see if they want to go in with me before I leave town.
Will you have at least one on the Chargers?
So if I had a pick, the single pick of integrity, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Let's talk with with one entry you would go with.
I would probably go because the team that strategically makes some sense but scares me is Las Vegas. I mean,
oh right,
right because. And I think they're going to be more popular in Circa than they will be in your standard home survivor pool because they're a 3.5 against Miami. But you got new coaches. You got all sorts of situations. But from a strategy standpoint, you're probably never going to use a team
You'll
like
never
that
use them again. But that would take some onions, 20. For sure.
It would take some onions with a pick of integrity. I think I would go Chargers because I do think the Jacksonville Jaguars are both a smaller favorite and have some sneakier spots. Like they could be really important. Week 12B, which is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, if you can get there, that week looks actually pretty tough too, and they're one of the potential bigger favorites there. So if I'm choosing between Chargers, Detroit, Jacksonville, the three above a 4.5, I think the Chargers is probably eat them this week with the pick of integrity, and then diversify if you're playing 10. Right, you're not going to go more than I would probably not have more than. Three, four,
I like I like that you phrase that the way. If you've got the one, like you say, the pick of integrity, right? I would say you play one optimally and the rest you play somewhat suboptimally sometimes, I guess. Maybe that's not the right way to say it.
Yeah,
but you certainly play them differently. And only one is truly your optimal play, ultimately.
Yeah, I know some people, and including a couple that won last year, went all in week one on 10 picks.
Yeah.
That's probably not my default, but I'm probably like... I'm like a 2 or 3 type person typically, especially on a week like this. I'm probably not spreading on 4 or 5, like with 10 entries. No way. I'm picking 2, maybe 3, and launching out at that with 10 picks.
What's the team that scares you the most that you think will be among the most selected in week
one? I mean, I talked about Las Vegas. Yeah. That's a pick I'm going to make that in a lot of survivor pools that I'm going to play in. Because I'm going to be in a lot of others that have multi-picks later in the year and stuff like that. So you kind of have to take a team like that, but I'm going to hate every minute of it.
That's right. Just get me
through
this.
I'm going to hate everything about it. And you hope when you look back, you see that in the week one with a win next to it. And you're like,
this is
awesome.
You just express the beauty of the game, though, right?
Yes.
To have to live through that.
Yeah. You're going to hate like half the picks you make in this contest if you're successful.
You got to.
You have to hate. You can't pick the Rams every week. You can't love that pick every week.
You are not permitted to pick the Rams
every week.
It is not allowed.
Right.
You are also Pool Genius, and you, the author, you also are in the latest betting guide iteration here at VSiN.
Yep.
What is that going to be? An insert, and you're going to give some survivor
tenets? There's going to be a short article about the holiday teams this year.
Okay.
We expanded it. There are now 12 teams in action across the two holidays, 6 which play on both. So you do have more options than last year. It does look different than last year. I think at this point, we could already tell Philadelphia is going to be popular. I'm not sure there's some danger out there on the holidays, but there's also a lot of lack of clarity on how it's going to look. And so, but here's what I would say to our listeners.
You got 10 seconds.
Week 9, you could probably make it to week 9 with most of them, but then it gets really tough. They become the best pick in a lot of weeks.
Poolgenius.com for... just the great sort of breakdown from Jason and his crew. And of course, the NFL Betting Guide 2.0, Jason in there as well. Thank you, sir.
This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The
numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number three of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158, though that will change to SiriusXM Channel 189 this coming Tuesday. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Whether it's at the sportsbook or anywhere else in the casino, he's always helping us find an edge. It's time for Fezzik Fridays.
Starring the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest back in the day. He's won many contests since then, but we like to highlight that one. It's Steve Fezzik, everybody. Kinder in person than he is on Twitter at Fezzik Sports. Follow at your own peril. Stevie, you're here at Circa. You just came in and you're like, why is Circa the best sports book ever? You wanted to say why.
It's not the best sports book. It's the best casino and sports book.
Yes.
And I figured it out. I had an epiphany walking around. You know why? Because within 2 minutes, what can happen is that you can go into the restroom and the room and the bathroom attendant is super nice and talks to you. All these other corporate places,
yeah,
all these employees train, don't interact with the customers because they're so scared that there could be something negative. And then 2 minutes later, you run by Derek Stevens and he's going out of his way to come by and say hi to you. So from the very top,
yes,
the billionaire to the people, the hardworking people that keep everything running at every level, you are welcomed in this place. And that just does not happen at any other casino.
Steve Fezzik, everybody. Was that sincere, or are you angling for something over here? You want something in return for that?
I don't want anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No.
Steve, well done. Well said. I agree with everything you said, by the way.
Right.
Every word of it.
By contrast, I mean, there were other fat cats that would come on, and they would say, we care about your families. We care about you. We want you to responsibly gamble, especially the gentleman that lost $348 million with us.
Right.
Right?
Who we had on the show.
Yeah.
So true. Okay, real quick before we launch into things you want to talk about, you wanted to address, Todd Wishnev was on earlier this week, he was on Wednesday, and part of his spiel was about the concept of what he described as premature fasciculation, which is his way of saying that oftentimes you get super excited about a bet while game's happening, and you go overboard, and you jump in too quickly.
I think Todd is correct here. All right.
That
a team goes on offense, right? And their attack looks fantastic. They're just cruising down the field. And I do indeed, I suffer from this. I should get counseling. I suffer from premature attack elation.
Yes.
From the offense looking so good.
Yeah.
And I need need to calm down.
You get way too excited.
Yes. And so Todd is correct in that manner. Now,
I think you can take a pill for this, Steve. I think you'll be okay.
Something.
Yeah.
I won't get into the hateful tennis comments that Todd has mentioned about not just me.
Oh, no. It's me, too.
But you as well.
He's just making stuff up.
And he forgets that just a few years ago, Stevie had 7 points. Todd had 8. The bear was observing all this.
Yes, the bear was there.
And then all of a sudden, things changed.
Yeah. Okay, let me ask you again. I have so many asides before we actually get to the meat of this. Are you and Brad Powers fake fighters, fake enemies, or are you real enemies?
I think it's kind of like WWE, right, with the wrestling. All right, where it fluctuates, right, where guys become heels and then they become heroes and they go back and in fact, and it's like, remember, like with Omega Powers, like the Macho Man. Oh yeah. You know, that he...
what the hell?
Like Hulk Hogan comes in the ring and saves him, you know? And then they bump into each other, and the Macho Man's been hit in the head, and he's, like, confused. And the Hulkster puts out his hand, and the Macho Man doesn't know. You know, and they, like, shake hands, like, wow, this is really happening this year. But then, you know, next year, the lovely Elizabeth gets injured because Hogan throws some bad guy into her, and then things are on again.
What the hell are you talking about? This is, you know what this reminds me of? You know the character Pootie Tang? He used to come on the Chris Rock show and he would say things in gibberish twice and Chris Rock would be like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then he would say the same thing in gibberish the third time and Chris Rock would be like, what the hell?
One week Brad
about?
Powers and I are buddies and the next week I can't get him to buy the dinner he owes me, although I do owe him money.
Part of this is because as someone, like, no one has been more aggrieved by this man right here than me. Like, if anybody should be an enemy of Steve Fezzik, it's me. You know, the old theft of the baseball plays so many times.
Aggregation.
Slow play, slow paying me. All these things.
All I do is make Gilly money.
No one should hate Steve more than me. And look, here we are.
Make him a lot of money. Might take a little while to get paid, but makes a lot of money.
Well, you didn't make me the money. You facilitated.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me...
And where was Crack Man in your hour of need?
I didn't call him.
There you go.
I could have. I didn't want to bother.
He probably would have done better than I. Yeah.
All right. We were just talking. Kelly and I were just talking about NFL Week 1. You have a Week 1 best bet.
Yeah. I love Crackman, by the way. So let's do a total here, right? Let's go to a divisional game.
Okay.
Let's look at Philadelphia. Boy, offense not going to be as good without A.J. Brown. And your Washington, whatever they're calling themselves this week. There, I've got major concerns about their offense as well. We're going to go under divisional game, under. For set up under 46.5. Go. We are betting under 46.5.
You see, we had right angle on yesterday. They did that. It was a go.
What was their play?
Florida State 31. By the time he finished the sentence, it was 32.
Delayed third. And that's an example like with right angle. We love like doing the bottom up and the top down handicapping. Mm-hmm. And when right angle, they say, all right, we're going to tell you to set up, but don't jump the gun.
That's right, because they might say cancel.
Do not jump the gun until you get confirm and the go.
Yeah.
We jump the gun all the time. Like, hey, we like that play already. We're going.
I would imagine 50% of people are jumping the gun when they set up. They just go ahead and bet it, just hope after that's the play.
Well, what's funny is they'll go three straight cancels, and people will be like, there's no way this one's a cancel. And then they're like, oppo, Michael, we're going opposite.
All right, so under... DC Skins, Philadelphia Eagles, under 46.5. That is Sunday in the late window, the afternoon window, week one. God, not till September 13th. You mean to tell me we're still 16 days away from opening Sunday? Oh, we do have a couple games before that. Okay. All right, let's do some season longs in the NFL. If you're going to be here, let's give out some plays, Steve Fezzik. Cleveland Browns season win total. What are you doing with that?
So I am aggregating the great Kelly Bidlin, who's basically like there's – In the book, Chad Millman wrote a book, The Odds. And at one point, Alan Boston says, why isn't everyone driving to the MGM to make this bet? I need to ask you, why isn't everyone driving to Ohio or wherever to DraftKings to bet the Cleveland Browns? Not under 5.5. Gilly, under 7.5. Minus 280.
Wow.
At most books, the Browns are under 6.5, minus 200. All right, and a game is worth about 80 cents, but here's the thing, and I won't go into all the boring math because Todd doesn't like that. Under 7.5 minus 280 is way better than under 6.5 minus 200. If they played the season 100 times, how many times the Browns going to win 8 or more games? I would say, I don't know, 11? You know, I think it's like an 89% bet.
Under 7.5, but you got to lay the juice, minus 280. For Steve's alt.
Nope, only if you lose.
That's right, pardon me. Only if you lose. The juice only happens if you lose, yes. I'm told. All right, here's one that we have loved on this show. We've talked about this all off season. The gauntlet schedule that is that of the Los Angeles Chargers. You like the under here.
Yeah, so there's a lot of repercussions going here. We're going to go under 10.5 for the Chargers, minus 160. And the reason I'm buying these games, I'm not playing them under 9.5, is just mathematically, it's gotten very cheap to buy and get the better number. This was not the case 2 years ago. Certainly wasn't the case 3 years ago. But now it is indeed the case. Look at this gauntlet. 7 games, weeks 3 through 9 for the Chargers. They have to play home games against Denver, Kansas City, and Houston. Road games against Buffalo, Seattle, Rams, Baltimore. So that's 7 teams every bit as good as them. So
to the person who would say to you, hey, well, Steve, why shouldn't I wait till after week 2 to make a Chargers adjusted season win total?
No, that's fine. They can go ahead and do that. Yeah. It might actually be optimal, right? Because the Chargers, they're looking at that schedule. They're no dummies. And they got 2 cupcakes. They play the Raiders, I think, week 2. And obviously they're laying 10 week 1. So I think the Chargers, you better use them. Weeks 1 or 2 in your survivor. Because
well, that's what I was just going to ask you. Jason Lisk was here. Obviously, the only question is they're going to be the most selected team. The only question is by how much. you still, even though that would not be the optimal strategical play, you would still play them.
I think it is the optimal strategic play. And you know, Dr. Bob actually ran the numbers last year, like week one, he made a strong case for like the obvious sharp fifth grader play was the optimal play because people are too cool for school. They want to play the Raiders against Miami.
Well, I think if you, but it's different if you have multiple entries, right?
No, no, because,
not to you.
Well, this is a myth. I hear all these people, the 100 entries have an advantage. Well, now wait a minute. Not one person's mentioned why do they have an advantage. Well, if it's week
it's
20,
Thanksgiving and Christmas, that's why they have the advantage.
I would argue in the last couple weeks they have the advantage because they know what their if they have three entries remaining, they know what their first and their second entries will be.
Right.
All right. But the fact that your first entry is the most valuable. That's the Magellan optimal path to circumnavigate the Earth. And then by the time you're doing your 18th entry, you're trying to get across the world going through Hudson Bay. You're going to just like die.
I've said this a million times. Yes. No, I agree. But I do think, though, that there is, again, you say it's not the optimal strategy. I think some people would disagree, though, with that, which is, well, there's always the chance that the Chargers get that the optimal strategy would be to not be on a team that has 40% of the entries. And to hope that that team loses.
If 80% of the people pick the Chargers, I 100% would agree with you.
Yeah.
But at 40%, it's laughable that would be the case.
Stevie, yes. Don't make me bring up, I did the thought exercise with Jeff Parles several Thanksgivings ago where I gave him the scenario. If you knew 99% of the teams were going to take the Cowboys, would you take the Raiders? He was like, oh, I can't do that.
No,
tweeted at the time, you were on Parles' side, so stop being so up.
Oh, then I was wrong.
Stop being so arrogant,
then
Steve
Fezzik.
Then I
was wrong.
You ain't right all the time.
No doubt.
Coming back, Steve Fezzik. Numbers game. Decent.